In one of the earlier services, I said that as Pat gets older and her voice matures, she just gets gooder and gooder. But somehow saying it as she gets older didn't come out right. But we are so blessed to have a number of outstanding soloists, and what a blessing it is to us to have them. We have some visitors today. They're really not visitors. They're old members of the church, Pete and Billy Baptiste. Billy was our director of Christian education for a number of years, and Pete was one of our elders, and they're sitting right. Stand up, will you? We're glad to have them back with us visiting today. And you'll get a chance to speak to them later on in the morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 33. Thinking about saying the wrong thing reminded me of the young man that said, can you ever do something wrong and not know about it? And I thought for a minute and said, not if you're married. Psalm 33. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only sure way to know what we should believe and how we should live our lives. Therefore, Scripture becomes indispensable. It's the only place where we can go and know that it will never let us down or fail us. Listen to what God says to us in this portion of His holy word. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but the only people who really rejoice in God are people who are in His will and who know it. People who are seeking to be obedient to God. The people who are deliberately disobeying God do not rejoice in Him. People who are rebelling against God do not rejoice in Him. Only those who are upright praise Him. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. Now, here's what God loves. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. That's going to talk about how God created everything, but how God is sovereign over His world, including the nations. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all their hosts by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came to be, He commanded and it stood forth. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? That the thoughts of God's heart stand to all generations. That, you know, God never changes. And the Bible says God is love. And that heart of God for you and me never changes. Now, here's the kind of nation that God wants. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From where He sits enthroned, He looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory. And by its great might, it cannot save. I suppose in our day we can add the ICBM is a vain hope for victory. Its great explosion cannot save. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. That He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. There's our only hope, those who fear God. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Yea, our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Thy steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in Thee. Our meditation this morning is entitled, The Rain on Our Parade. We do have a lot of rain on the American parade today, and as we celebrate our anniversary of the founding of this country, we need to talk about that. Our text, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, as we think about our nation and the need to be a righteous people, as we remember that you bless only those who stand in your will, help us as a people to be who you call us to be, that our land might be blessed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we celebrate this week, the anniversary of the founding of our nation, there are some things I want to say this morning about being a Christian in America. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we Americans can be obnoxious people. I get embarrassed sometimes when I'm traveling overseas to see the conduct of some Americans. Perhaps you heard about the man who had a filling station out on the edge of the desert going west. An Englishman was visiting this country and was touring in that part of the United States, and he stopped for some gas. He saw a sign on his station that said 200% American, and he asked this surly gentleman, what does it mean to be 200% American? Well, rasped the filling station man in belligerent tones, most of us Americans don't like foreigners, but I'm 200% American. I don't like anybody. You know, sometimes I think that that's not our problem, really. But our real problem is that in this country we have a substantial group of people who are only 50% American. They like everybody but Americans. They like all the presidents but ours. They like all the governments of the world except that in the United States. The recent meeting of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church U.S. in Indianapolis is a case in point. In spite of the fact that a representative from the Immigration Department met with them and talked with them about the so-called sanctuary movement, where our denomination is encouraging congregations and individuals to give sanctuary to refugees from El Salvador, and an immigration official came. And I have here the paper printed by our General Assembly, which tells what he said. He said, the sanctuary movement, giving asylum in churches to Central American refugees, is illegal, improper, and unnecessary. Illegal, improper, and unnecessary. And yet, in spite of that, the Assembly endorsed those involved in breaking the law in the so-called sanctuary movement, voted $100,000 for legal fees to help them in breaking the law. Now, the problem from my vantage point of helping Salvadoran refugees is the fact that these are people who are basically communist guerrillas who sought to undermine that country and overthrow the government, and when they failed, they fled. Now they're coming to this country, and one of the denominations to which this church belongs is encouraging us to hide them from the immigration officials. Well, that's bad enough. But at the same time, our president is being taken to task by our denomination for the American policies in Nicaragua. Now, group after group of Presbyterians have gone to Nicaragua under the auspices of our denomination, and there they've been treated to a so-called tour that has been very carefully orchestrated so that they see what the Nicaraguan Sandinista government wants them to see, and they come back singing the praises of that Marxist government. However, Senator Danforth made some interesting comments on the floor of the Senate back in April. He said, and I quote, Nicaragua is a Marxist country. It is armed to the teeth. It is ideologically committed to revolution without borders, both to preaching it and fomenting it. He then went on to add the Sandinista repression of its own people through curbs on the press, the church, and the most fundamental human rights is appalling. But it is the government's attempt to export aggression and subvert its neighbors that is the source of my gravest concern, unquote. Yet at the same time, in spite of that dire warning, our denomination has endorsed the Sandinista government and has lambasted the president. Let me just read for you in this same paper what they said. It declared its firm conviction that current policy in Central America is not only ideologically misguided, they're talking about a communist government, politically mistaken, economically wasteful, and militarily risky, but also morally wrong and unjust. And what is this injustice? It is the fact that our country has stood up for the Monroe Doctrine, a doctrine in which for decades we've made it clear that the United States will countenance no presence of foreign powers in the Americas. And to say that the Sandinistas are not the tools of Russia is to ignore reality. Now, I don't mean to be political. I'm trying to set the stage for what I want to say to you this morning. Do you ever get the feeling that you and some of your fellow Christians here in America don't share the same goals and don't even operate from the same stance? Do you know what's on the tomb of Alexander Graham Bell? It has his name and the date of his birth and death, and then it says, died a citizen of the USA. Now, Alexander Graham Bell could have had any number of inventions or honors listed on his tombstone. But for a man who was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, the highest honor of all was to be an American, died a citizen of the USA. But sometimes I get the feeling that there are some who are embarrassed to be American, as though it was somehow sinful and shameful, who are embarrassed about capitalism, even though it has produced more abundance for the world than any nation in the history of humanity. So as we come to celebrate the founding of our nation, there's some rain falling on our American parade. And a large part of that rain cloud over this nation is a religious cloud. In our scripture this morning, the Bible tells us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, it ought to be obvious to us that the reverse is also true, that a nation which does not have God as its Lord is not a nation that can be blessed. Do you realize that no great nation in all the history of the world has ever fallen because of outside foes? Instead, history shows that the nations decline and collapse because they are rotten from within. When a nation begins to decline spiritually, morally, ethically, an internal dry rot has begun that will lead to that nation's disaster. For example, the Roman Empire did not collapse for lack of military power. Rome had no match in the world militarily. Yet Rome fell. How could that be? Well, it was fatally vulnerable to the hordes of barbarians from without because internally it was rotten to the core from materialism, from hedonism, from immorality, from self-indulgence. It was a nation that had lost its moral compass, its ethical bearings, and had become totally permissive. America, I don't think, will ever be destroyed from forces without, but it may fall from our own internal decadence. How can the present course of our nation, how can this rain on our parade be overcome? It can come only because of a spiritual renewal that rejects the hedonism, that rejects the materialism, that rejects the secularism, that rejects the immorality. It can come only because there is a spiritual renewal that brings a new moral code, a new ethical awareness to this land. As we read in the Old Testament in Chronicles, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their cry from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know, it's amazing to me how determined certain forces in America seem to be to wipe out and eradicate everything religious from our society. In his poem that became our national anthem, Francis Scott Key wrote this verse: "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." That's in our national anthem, "In God is our trust." In 1864, when the nation was locked in a gigantic, terrible civil war, the Congress passed a law authorizing the motto, "In God We Trust," to be placed on a 2-cent coin. Then the next year, it authorized that motto to be placed on all of our gold and silver coins. In making the recommendation to Congress that this motto be used, Samuel P. Chase, who was Secretary of the Treasury, said, "Now, in this time of national peril, our strength and our salvation must be of God." Well, that's still true. But we've come a long way since that time. Today we hear a lot about the separation of church and state. But did you know that the First Amendment was not enacted until 15 years after the Constitution? The idea of taking religion out of our national life never occurred to our founding fathers. And the First Amendment was intended to keep the state from interfering with religion and establishing a state church. It never was intended, as the courts have made it, to take religion out of our public life. Indeed, where did our schools come from? Where did our colleges come from? Who founded our hospitals? It was the church. If you take religion out of the history of this country, if you take the contributions of religion out of society, all you will have left is a vacuous, empty shell. For example, in recent years, we've been told that religious views should not be forced upon a secular society. How asinine a secular society is forcing its views upon us. Chuck Colson, speaking at the General Assembly of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Denver recently, quoted the governor of New York in a speech that he made at Notre Dame. And Governor Cuomo said that as a Catholic, he believed abortion was wrong. But as a Catholic office holder in a secular society, he wouldn't force his views upon that society. Okay, so far so good. But then he went on to add that he had no obligation to advocate his religious views that he believed, and he could support pro-abortion legislation in his state as long as the majority of the people wanted it. Do you realize how insidiously dangerous that is? And that's the view of our secular world. He's saying that God's truth is truth only when it's ratified by a majority of the people. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God says. That's the worst kind of religious sophistry. As a matter of fact, that kind of talk gives sophistry a bad name. But the press fell all over itself to applaud that speech. Ted Koppel thanked him for the speech and said, "Thank you, Governor. That's the first time anybody has made sense out of the church-state issue in this campaign." Well, of course it makes sense if you reject the role of the Christian faith and its right to impact this society. Yes, there's rain on our parade here in America. I was discussing this issue recently with someone, and they said to me, "You don't really think that God would let anything happen to America, do you?" And my answer was, I not only think God will let it happen, I believe that God may make it happen because of the corruption and the immorality that is so rampant in this land. Do you realize we have more police per capita than any free nation in the world? Do you know we have more crime than any free nation? Do you know we have more people in jail than any free nation in the world today? We have violence in our movies, immorality in our novels. We have the breakup of the home and the family and the total disregard for the things of God encouraged in large sectors of America. And I think Ruth Graham was probably right when she said, if God does not chasten America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know what's at stake today? Saul Zelensky says that the problem that faces America is not inflation, not unemployment, not welfare, but the problem that faces this country is survival. A Frenchman is reported to have said that France fell to Germany because the people begin to think of the government as a cow to be milked rather than a watchdog to be fed. And today there's rain on our parade here in America because of a crushing burden of debt. And every year that increase is just incredible and unthinkable in its amounts. And yet efforts to secure the safety and the protection of our land and to bring that debt under control is thwarted by those who for greed seek their own benefit rather than the good of the land. The government is not a watchdog over our safety, but it's a cow to be milked by every special interest group. And what we need today, what we must have today, is a spiritual renewal. America needs a revival that returns us to our heritage, to our spiritual roots. Now, we can't do it single-handedly here, but we can make a start. For example, we can make a start right here in St. Louis by planting new churches where the gospel will be truly preached. And how desperately we need all over this city, and especially in a burgeoning West County, new churches based on the Word of God who stand for His Word without compromise. I said that in the early service, and one of my members gave me a check for $300 and said, hey, I want to help start one. We need to give a hand not only here in the city, but to our fellow Christians across America in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church who are struggling to plant new congregations which stand on the authority and the integrity of the Word of God. When I leave this service in a few minutes, one of our elders and I will be going to Marshall, Texas. And tonight we'll be organizing a new Evangelical Presbyterian Church there. We have some 50 people, most of them the men, elders and deacons out of Presbyterian churches, who've said, we want a church here that stands on the infallible Word of God and which preaches the righteousness of God. And it's exciting to have a share in that. And all across this land, we need such men and women who are committed to serving God and in the process of bringing America to a new awareness of her spiritual heritage. But even that's not enough. We live in a world where communism, a godless, atheistic philosophy, not only dominates a large part of the world, but it's seeking to control more and more of the nations of the world. You know, now, communism is just an idea. It's a philosophy. And what we must have to combat it is a greater philosophy, a true truth. The idea of truth that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That is the truth that will overcome the falsity of communism. Jesus is the truth of God, and it's the truth that will set men free. So we must take part in a mighty effort to share the good news with the whole world, not just here, not just in America, but the whole world. A friend of mine once asked the question, what does Russia export? Now you think about that. We know what Japan exports. We know what West Germany exports, we know what England's exports, but what does Russia export? They said, we will bury you, but what are they going to bury us with? Are they exporting technology?
they going to bury us with technology? No, they have to steal ours to have any. Are they going to bury us with agricultural exports? No. They have to buy grain from us. Are they going to export a heavy industry and bury us with that? No, they have to get us to put a truck factory in there. The little town I grew up in, the nearest thing we had to heavy industry was the 300-pound Avon lady. Are they going to bury us with technology? Are they going to bury us with agriculture? Are they going to bury us with heavy machinery? That's not what they're exporting. The only thing they're exporting with which they intend to bury us is revolution. They export atheism. They export war. They export communism. Well, we export all of the things they don't. But are we going to export something to counteract the terrible things they're putting out? Ultimately, there's only one export to the world that will save it, and that's Jesus Christ. And we must commit ourselves to sharing Him with the whole world. We must, as a congregation, commit ourselves to doing all we can to fulfill the Great Commission, to go to the county, to go to the country, to go to the world. Yes, there's rain on the American parade. Our church leaders, and some of them, telling us to disarm, to accept a Marxist country in our hemisphere, to support it. At the same time, they're telling us we can't believe in an infallible Bible. We can't believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus. We can't believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And yet, at the same time, the hope of this land is a return to the Bible. A return to obedience to the moral laws of God. A return to a confidence, as the Bible puts it, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let us pray.